Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at the two prophets in the Bible, Elisha and Elijah, or Elijah and Elisha. Just going to jump in and out of their story a wee bit over the next couple of weeks. But 1 Kings 19:19-21. So Elijah went there, and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen, ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye," he said. "Then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment and to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So who was Elisha? Some say he was, a man of radical faith, or what would I put him a title? He was a man of faith, whatever. But I think Elisha and Elijah both were men of radical obedience. Elisha was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, as we know. He was daring, he was bold, he was a risk taker, and he was a man of ridiculous faith and ridiculous obedience, as I've already said. Elisha wanted to be like Elijah. And what did he ask of me? He asked for a double portion of what Elijah had. Isn't that correct? Not what he says. I wanted something off Elijah, and it was a double portion. Elijah, this prophet of the Old Testament, who ran from Jezebel, who fought the prophets of Baal, who prayed it would not rain, then prayed for rain again. Then he was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. That would be great in your headstone, wouldn't it? That there, just that efficacy of just what was saying, a man of the Old Testament who fought Jezebel, fought the prophets of Baal, said it would rain, then it wouldn't rain, then taken to heaven in a whirlwind. What a description of Elijah. God then gives Elijah this understudy of Elijah. He gives him a double portion of something. And it's amazing to think that Elisha performed more miracles than anyone else in Scripture, bar from Jesus. It's incredible to think that, isn't it? And the best thing about Elisha, he was ordinary. He was like you and me. He would get up out of his bed, he would eat his breakfast, he would have his dinner, he would go to work. He was just an ordinary guy. And he didn't, what we would say, have a big platform to spring off to into ministry. He didn't have this big platform. He was just a normal guy, doing normal stuff every day. Just an ordinary guy living with his parents, working on the farm. And then God calls him into something greater, something incredible. We know that Elisha and Elijah lived in the time when Israel was split. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Baal, this god that they would all worship, it was the thing of the day to worship this god of Baal. Everybody would worship it. Then God would raise up this ordinary guy and do something impossible through him. In verse 19, we see it. He says, he was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving out the 12th pair. Think about this, okay? Sometimes we just read Scripture and we just go, he was plowing and then that was it. You know, sometimes we just read it. We don't think about it. Think about this was his job. Okay, this was what he done daily, day after day. He would eat, he would sleep, and he would work. He would eat, and he would sleep, and he would work. He would eat, he would sleep, he would plow, he would work. That was his daily stuff, day after day, waking up. Think about that this morning. Think about the monotony of that. Think how boring that was. We all have a job, don't we? So we get up and we sleep and we work, don't we? But think about our day, our daily walk. Think about that there. Think about the view he would have had. Okay, what was he walking behind? Two oxen. Think about his view daily. Think about the smell daily. This was what he done. Day after day, Waking up to the same old day, nothing changes. The same old smell, the same old view, the same old day-to-day stuff. Think about that this morning. And do you ever think, and suppose he didn't have a great view, he was looking at the back end of an ox, and the smell wouldn't have been great. But think about that. Our lives can be a wee bit like that, isn't it? We wake up in the morning, same old, same old, same old. It's how we lose our passion for things. It really is. And when we see life and what we do in the everyday, it's how we lose our passion when we just wake up and do the same old thing. Or at least that's what's in our heads a wee bit. Elisha was, what would I say? Elisha was living the same old. Think about that. Elisha every day was living the same old, same old. And here's something to think about this morning. Here's sort of what my big point is this morning. God always rewards those who are faithful with the little things. God always rewards those who are faithful with the little things. Doing the same old, every day. You see, when we are faithful with the little things, don't we know that God can trust us with so much more? There's nothing worse than being in a job or a place or living a life that seems to be boring or monotonous. Sure, there's not. But something amazing happens to this guy, Elisha. Something amazing happens to him in the same old, the monotony of the day. God calls him into something new. In verse 19, it says, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. The cloak that we know was probably made of fur. It was an animal skin of some sort. Symbolically, here's what he was doing. Here's what Elijah was doing with Elisha. Elijah was taking that which covered him. He put his covering on Elisha. That which now covers me, now covers you. A mantle that was called in the scriptures. This mantle that was on me is now on you. What I was under, now you're under. Elijah, as God was working in him, as God was working through him, God is now going to work in and through Elisha. This is what is happening. So what does that mean for you and for me this morning? What does that look like for you and me? Elijah was taking the thing that covered him and he was putting it on Elisha. What does that mean for us this morning? First point, God's going to call Elisha to follow Elijah, and he doesn't know all the details. Who doesn't like knowing details? Anybody a good detailer in here? Who doesn't like doing something and not knowing what's going to happen? Probably all of us in this room, isn't it? And the big point I have this morning as well is, you don't have to know everything to fully obey God. When God calls, it's a yes, followed by, now what? Is anybody held there? You like that a wee bit at the minute, are you? When God says, do something, it's a yes, followed by a now what? That's normally what happens. Verse 20 of our scriptures. Elijah then left his oxen. It says, and he ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said. Then I will come to you. Here's a thought, and it's always good to pray about things before we do anything, isn't it? I'm not saying don't pray about this, but he didn't have to pray about this one. I'm sure he had been praying about something. He didn't need to think about following Elijah. He didn't have to weigh up his all options. He didn't have to go over people to people and say, what do you think? What do you think? He obeys right away, knowing that God just might be in this. We don't need to understand everything before we obey. It's where Israel fall into the trap. It's where we fall into the trap this morning. Remember in Exodus, before they crossed the Red Sea, it said that they complained over the bitter waters of Marah. Do you remember? They complained. God says go, and they complained. In Exodus again, it says they collected more manna than they needed. They didn't trust God. They got fed up waiting, it tells us, engaging in idolatry and a golden calf. In Numbers, it says they complained over the lack of food. God was taking them from here to here, but they'd done nothing but complain. In Numbers again, it says, instead of doing what God said, They failed to trust him before entering the promised land. It's amazing that our posture and where we're positioned sets us up for what God really wants to do. Being ready with God helps us move forward with God without knowing all the detail. And our posture, if it's a complaining one, if it's an untrusting one, if it's a selfish one, if it's an unteachable one, will keep us stuck. But if we learn anything out of this passage this morning, listen to this morning. If God's calling you to do something, listen to this morning. God never gives out details. Can anybody amen that this morning? When God says to do something, we don't know the bigger story. We really don't. He just asks us to be obedient. God can be so vague, can't he? Have you ever heard anything from God or felt something drop in your heart? And you're going, what are you saying, Lord? God can be so vague about the detail. Probably because we couldn't handle everything that was in store. But obedience, this next step, I don't know for you what how God speaks to you or whatever, but God might just be saying one word to you this morning, okay? A lot of the people in the scriptures that we know always moved in one word. One word could be go. Not this morning, just sit here, just while I finish, okay? But the word could be go, because here's the thing, Moses often went in one word. God always said to Moses, go. Abraham went, it was nearly like, just go, and he went. Peter, who sees Jesus walking on the water, what was the word said there? If that's you, tell me to come. And what does Jesus say to him? One word, he says, come. There was no details. No mind your next step. No, just think about this. Just let this sink in. The word was just come. You see, one word from God is more than enough detail for us to be obedient, isn't it? If God says one word to us this morning, it should be more than enough for us. Some of us just might this morning need to hear this word this morning. They might just need to hear the word stay. Others might need to hear this word this morning, trust. Someone might need to hear this morning, start. One word is enough detail to be obedient to God's call. Someone just might need to hear this word this morning, commit. Someone might just need to hear this morning, what are you waiting on? That's more than one word, I know that, okay, but I couldn't find one word for that. So what are you waiting on? God has spoken to you. Details are not important. Just do as he says. Elisha, in our scripture, didn't hesitate for a moment. You don't need all the details to obey God. Listen to this. Those that God uses the most are the ones that hold on to the least. I'm going to say that again. Those that God uses the most are the ones that hold on to the least. The least you hold on to, the more God will use you. Those that God uses the most are the ones that hold on to the least. Verse 21. So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat, give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. What a call, eh? Go and burn it all. Go and slaughter it all and just go. What a calling this morning to leave holding on to nothing. And there's quite a symbolic image here that we're to get. So it is, remember the prodigal son? Remember they killed a calf and cooked the meat and gave it to the people as part of a feast? That's very scriptural. Often when they were doing that with an animal, it was to through sacrifice or to celebrate something or to do something. Killing animals in the scripture is quite common, especially in the Old Testament. But Elisha slaughters the animals, okay? So in scripture we can get that, okay? It's part of what they done in them days. They would slaughter animals as a feast, as a sacrifice or whatever. It makes sense, doesn't it? When we read the scriptures, we can see that. But this makes no sense. It's the one I don't like. It makes no sense. He burns the plows. Let's bring it into our day. He burns your tools. I was a joiner for many years. He burns the tools. It's one thing to do one thing, But to burn your livelihood is another thing. He burns the tools, he burns the plows, the things that would make his living, the things that would make life easier, the things that he had to do was he had to burn them. Maybe here's what's happening. By burning the plows, there's nothing left to go back to. He heard God say, go. Now he has to do something. Maybe by just burning them, there was no plan B. I don't know about you. I'm a keep my options open type of guy. Anybody in here, keep my options open. Anybody a backup guy? I think I've talked about this a lot of times. I'm a terrible backup guy, okay? If I have one Apple TV, I have three of them, okay? Just in case one breaks. I'm a wee bit like that, okay? I'm a wee bit of that type of person. I've only one phone, but I would love another one just in case, okay? But they're just too dear. But I'm that type of person. I do like backup. But what we see this morning, it's an extreme moment. It's an over-the-top moment, isn't it? It's a what-are-you-doing type of moment. What are you doing here, Elisha? Why are you burning the plow? But there's times in scriptures when people are so moved by God, they will do anything to follow him. Jesus would encounter Peter for the first time. If you remember the story in Luke 5, it said Peter isn't having a good day. Jesus says, throw the nets over to the other side and see what happens. Peter resists, and Jesus says, will you just do it? It says that the nets would break with fish. Remember what Jesus says then. From this moment you become a fisher of men. So just like burning the plow, killing the cows, burning the tools, we're told something, that the disciples would leave everything. Take that on board a minute, okay? I've just said they would leave everything, okay? Not all of us have left everything. We never really do. But take that on board when we read that. Think about leaving your church. Some of that might be an easy option, okay? Oh, God, I can't wait for that one. But think about leaving your church, having to leave your work, having to leave your friends, having to leave your family, having to leave your hobbies, having to leave your home, having to leave your comfort, having to leave your safety, and having to leave everything as familiar. Think about that just when we read that. Elisha knows that there's no going back. He's all into it. For him, it's God first. And for some, that type of calling happens. That's what some people are called to go and to leave everything. It's an extreme calling. But for most of us, it just might not be that extreme. But our calling is just as important. I think here's the point when I was doing this, it's happening. It's not how extreme this looks in what we've just read. I think it's how willing we are to do what God asks. How obedient we are shows how extreme we are. I'm going to say that again. How extreme this seems. It's not how willing we are to do what God asks. But how obedient we are shows us how extreme we are. Extreme in the mundane of the day is called obedience. Remember what I said? Those that God uses the most are those that hold on to the least. Isaiah would say, remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a what? A new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will take away the wilderness and the rivers in the desert, he says. In other words, is anybody looking something new in God? I think we all should answer yes to that in some way. Is anybody looking at something new? It's what's being said to God's people. Forget the old ways. Look to the coming Messiah. Something new is happening. And God is reminding his people that they're precious to him. The former things that we like to hold on to, we like to store, we like to keep, are going. See, new things are coming. That just might be a word for somebody. See, new things are coming. Trust God and look forwards. God always pulls through. Remember not the former things, or consider the things of old. Forget. Consider. Remember. Forget those things that we hold tightly to. Those that God uses the most are those that hold on to the least to experience the call of God. And to experience God's call, as I start to wind us up, we must be willing to sacrifice. To experience God's call, we must be willing to serve in humility. To experience God's call, we must be faithful in areas that He's already called us to. To experience God's call, often the way up is the way down. Elisha would lower himself to serve Elijah. God would later exalt him. Christ humbled himself, becoming a servant, giving everything for you and me. God exalts Jesus to where? Through his death and his resurrection, seating him on the throne of heaven and giving him the name that is above all names, as I've already said this morning. Those that God uses the most are those that hold on to the least. It's an upside down kingdom, isn't it? God doesn't want you to have anything in your hands because he wants it to be more about God than us. Jesus in Matthew 5 and 7 in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, Jesus said there are several type of people who are blessed. There is the poor in spirit, there's the mourners, there's the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers, those that don't have a lot. Jesus says those that have the least, the insignificant, the undesirable, theirs, he says, is the kingdom of heaven, inheritors of the earth. They are the children, he says, of God. Those that have the least, those that don't hold on to, those that put God first, those that give without being seen, those who pray and fast without putting on a show, says they will be rewarded. The world hoards, the world worries, and the world applauds their own. But for those who are obedient this morning, Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your food, your clothes. Trust instead, he says, know that God cares for you. Enter by the narrow gate, we're told, not the road that chooses by others. And this morning here, as I come to an end, here's the lesson I think we need to learn out of some of this. He burnt the plow. This symbol, and it is symbolic of the old life, this source of his livelihood. There was no turning back. There was no plan B. There was no safety net. We're not singing it this morning. Sure, we're not on it, but my way of singing that, I've decided to follow Jesus, and we sing it with all our hearts, don't we? We worship God. I have decided to follow him. Take that off the camera. But we have decided to follow Jesus. Don't we sing that quite a lot? And then what do? We hang on to our old life, don't we? For dear life, don't we? I have decided to follow Jesus, but just maybe not today. Don't we all do that? We love to sing it, but it's hard and practical. We hang on to old habits, old desires, old grudges, and old relationship. But God's always calling us higher, always calling us deeper. Better way to put that, God might be calling you to go deeper so he can lift you higher. Elijah would throw over his cloak over Elisha. It's a mantle that's being passed. God has put a mantle on us this morning. It's called his Holy Spirit, who lives and works through each of us. We have been called this morning. Galatians 3 and 27 says we are clothed in Christ. Christ has thrown something over us. We are clothed in Christ. John would tell us, you've been anointed and appointed. Ephesians, you've been chosen, handpicked to do the work he has planned in advance for you to do. And Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Those that hold on to the least this morning, I believe God uses the most. Those that hold on to the least this morning, God uses the most. So the question this morning to answer, I've been thinking about this as well. Do you need to burn the plow this morning? Not literally go back and burn your house or anything, okay? You're doing your job. But is there something that stands between you and God? The plow this morning, what stops us moving forward with God this morning? What stops us moving forwards in obedience with God? We stay in the shallow end, don't we? Instead of living in the depths of God. Leaving safety and experience in all that God has for us. And here's the big thing this morning. To go with God, to go with Jesus, if it's a calling in some way, if it's to start something up, it's not understanding every detail. It's trusting God in every circumstance. I've said it about 5 times. Those that hold on to the least this morning, God will use the most. Those that hold on to the least this morning, God is more likely to use. Close your eyes as we pray.